Welcome to the Artist Mother Podcast, featuring interviews with incredible working artists who are also mothers and compelling conversations regarding parenting and the art world. These conversations create a space for inclusivity and support for artist mothers worldwide. I'm Kaylin Butine, painter, mom of three, and podcast host. I'm so grateful you are tuning in, and I hope you enjoy this episode. Wow. This episode marks the 100th since we started this podcast. It feels like a big milestone, and I am celebrating, and I hope you'll join me. Take some time this week to revisit a favorite episode or two or three. You can start all the way back at the beginning with episode one and listen again to earlier interviews and move your way forward. That would be kind of fun. You can access all 100 interviews on our website at artistmotherpodcast.com. And on many of your listening apps, only the most recent 50 or so show up. So I just wanted you to know they're all accessible on our website, artistmotherpodcast.com. There truly is no bad episode in the bunch, as every single artist mother or group of artists I spoke with has so much wisdom and warmth to share. You guys are really such a special community, and I can't imagine my life without you in it. 4 years ago, in 2017, I graduated with my MFA and was pretty sure that my art career was about to, quote-unquote, take off. I think I expected to be launched into the arms of an art world that I could instantly connect with and that would help me move my career forward. A few years crept by, and while some progress was made, I felt stuck a bit in terms of community. I was living in an extremely rural area in Tennessee. I actually had to drive about 2 hours one way to see a great gallery show or do a studio visit. And when I did make it into cities like Nashville and Memphis, it was really hard to plug in because I wasn't a local. I constantly felt like an outsider, unable to continue building on the foundation I started in getting my MFA and diving full-time into making art. I felt the most alone whenever I considered the fact that I was smack in the middle of my family-building years. I had three kids. One was a new baby, and the loneliness and isolation I was feeling was honestly overwhelming. The art world truly felt so far off and inaccessible to me, and my place in it seemed as wavering as ever. I'm a pretty action-oriented person, and I began wondering what I could do about this. Without thinking about it too much, which sometimes can prove to be a good thing, I came up with a plan to start interviewing other artists who were mothers, asking them how they build their careers, find time to make, and learning about their work and processes. Y'all, I will never forget the thrill of those first interviews. I felt right at home, asking questions and communicating with these artists, and my cup instantly started to fill, hearing about their triumphs and joys. We began releasing episodes in February of 2019, and as many of you know, the rest is pretty much history. So many of you immediately showed up here, resonating with the interviews and the heart behind this community. So much has happened since then. Like, so much. We have changed and grown and built a network so strong, it feels unbreakable. Because we have come together, you all have done so much. Coffee dates, studio visits, exhibitions, projects, collaborations, and more have sparked because of your connections as artist mothers. Because you are willing to do this work and show up for this community. I love us. It is truly a dream to help facilitate the connections you have and build opportunities for you to continue to grow as artists. So I just wanted to say thank you so much for listening, for showing up, and for sharing your own stories within our network and community. So today feels really big. Today we celebrate 100 episodes. And we're going to take a look back and listen in on some of the biggest overlapping themes I've heard when conducting these interviews. None of us are the same in this community. We all have so many different resources we're working with. We're from different places. We have different backgrounds and interests. But we're all here because of what we have in common. And there is so much shared understanding in this journey. There are beautiful, rich, golden threads that are knitting us together by our shared identities as artists who are caretakers and mothers. And I want to highlight some of those threads today in this interview. I love those threads. So to begin, I want to remind you that if you're in a slower studio season right now, that's okay. So many artists I've spoken with really put the brakes on their careers during young motherhood, and I think we need to normalize that experience, to let go of the guilt and lean into whatever is best for our families and ourselves during this season. So let's listen in and hear from Leticia Huckabee in episode 80, Beth Winterburn in episode 35, and Kalita Rawls in episode 53, and Karen Siepker in episode 1 about their journey.
When a child is born, I kind of shut down on everything else. And I'm a very, like, for about 2 years after that child is born, they are my focus till they're old enough to talk. And I feel comfortable taking them somewhere else. But until then, they're like right up under me the whole time. And I kind of slow down in my work as well. And then once they're more independent, I kind of pick back up with my artwork. So with all three of the children, there's like a 2-year period after their birth where I kind of just slowed down.
I know that I wanted to be with them and to, you know, take them to like the library, to story hour and all the little things, you know, because I know myself enough to know like I can really dive in fully and my brain can be so focused on what I'm doing that I can just without even knowing it, like life can pass me by, you know? So I really did not. I mean, a lot of people, you know, I feel a little bit like I'm cheating, but you know, they go, oh, you're a mom with kids and you're an artist and you're, you know, I'm like, yeah, but I didn't do any of it until my youngest was 2 years old.
That was probably like the most stressful time of my life.
Were you making art during that time?
I was making some work. It was kind of scattered and in between. I had a studio off my kitchen, like in the nook. I made that a studio. And it was here or there, you know, it was when I could and when I had energy to, I didn't even have like, probably at that time, a lot of even energy for myself at all. It was a lot. But then when they got, got to school, when I got older, the art got to come back. The idea started to come back. It became, you know, and then of course I have baby again.
I am in it for the long haul as an artist, and I don't feel like at risk that my whole practice will just go to smithereens if it's a little slower right now.
Okay, so a huge theme that consistently comes up during my conversations with artist mothers is the idea of time and structuring your time to make work. So many people want to know how to craft the perfect schedule, but I'm here to tell you that 100 episodes in, there is no secret formula that I've heard about. Finding time for our art practices and creating a sense of balance in our lives is continual work. It goes better in some seasons than in others, and that is totally fine. For some, motherhood has made them more focused than ever before in the studio, and for others, the challenge feels greater. So let's hear from Laura Wenstrom in episode 20, Denise Gasser in episode 2, Pia Pack in episode 39, and Jody Hayes in episode 19.
And then I have like 2 or 3 hours to myself most days. And I feel like I need a good half of that to sort of decompress from the first 6 hours of the day. So it's hard, I think, to switch and suddenly be like, okay, now I'm an artist. Like, quick, chop, chop, like, get in the studio. That's really hard to make that switch so quickly. So I'm trying to think through things that don't require a lot of mental or emotional energy.
It's okay that it's not in balance. I'm balancing, like I'm trying to continually find the balance. And you get, you know, stronger in that process and you become a better person in the process of making that balance happen the best that you can.
I can think about work all day long when I'm bathing her, when I'm doing her bottles, whatever it is. And actually, it was fantastic for my work because it means that when you do go into the studio, you have condensed your thoughts and ideas down to exactly what you want. And I would just go into the studio and execute. And I've actually heard this from a few of your other artists on your podcast say sort of similar things. It's like, time is now precious. You cannot waste it with doing manicures and looking at art books while also being in the studio. You go in, you make it happen, and you get out and you get on with the rest of your life. And actually, it's been the best thing for me ever. I should have had children 20 years ago.
Someone told me at some point, like, galleries don't care if you have 80 hours in the week in the studio or if you have 12. Like, make your best work. However, you have to make that happen. And I'm not sure that I had that written down. And I said, well, I'm going to follow that advice. I think it just made sense to me. Like, they don't care. So don't complain about not having an enormous amount of time. Don't compare yourself to other people. Just get the work done and honor where you are and try and be thankful for where you are.
Speaking of being in it for the long haul and committing, many of us have expressed anxiety around social parameters and feeling like we just can't ever keep up. Let's hear some encouragement from Chloe Alexander in episode 89, Mira Burak in episode 98, and Jamie Rubenstein in episode 12 about this.
I think there's this illusion, like, and it's kind of perpetuated by social media. Like, people, they see the end result, but they don't see what it took to get there, or they don't see that this feed is curated to show you what you, whatever you see doesn't tell 100% of the story. And there's this sense of, like, you want something, it has to be immediate. And if it doesn't come quick enough, then it's not going to happen. It's like, okay, I told myself that I was going to quit my job. It took me 2 years to quit that job. I said to myself that I was going to do a residency. I had to apply to that residency twice and be accept the email that says you're an alternate and the feedback that your portfolio is not strong enough, and then say a year later, okay, I have a year to build my portfolio and then I'm going to get it this time. So it's like just being patient and not falling victim to this sense that, like, everything's going to happen right when you want it and just wait for it to happen. But you got to keep trying in the meantime.
I think our culture doesn't value rest. And, you know, in a way, we're kind of living like an anti-capitalistic lifestyle up here. You know, we don't run around a lot. I particularly don't like, you know, schedule a lot of extracurricular activities. Like, I feel like our whole life is extracurricular, you know, like, and I have to trust in that. And we value in this culture like a very productive, extroverted way of being. But so many people are introverted too. And like those people, that way of life doesn't get valued. And it's very common. We push ourselves to be extroverted sometimes when we could just be, you know, honest with ourselves and just like, yeah, walk without talking with your friend. Sometimes we're just filling space, I feel like.
Especially kind of millennial women have really been sold this trajectory that we have to accomplish XYZ by the time we're 30. And it's not true. And we put a lot of pressure and expectations on ourselves to have arrived by a certain time. And then it's easy to just like keep feeding ourselves that lie and then to tell ourselves, like, you know, I'm not living up to what I should be doing because I haven't met the marks yet.
The truth is, we really have to define success for ourselves and not look around. Carving out our own path is important and necessary work as we figure out how to be an artist in this world. Listen in as Anna Ogier-Bloomer in episode 71 and Benz Amatea in episode 5 speak to this idea.
our own idea of success is so wrapped up in what others are doing and what we perceive to be the expectation of success. And if you can do some soul searching for yourself and figure out what's important to you and your practice and where you want it to go, where you see it, where you see your work living, then you'll be a lot more satisfied. I'm still working on that myself.
I think that's what I find intriguing about being an artist, because you define your own way. There's no one that will come and say, hey, you need to be more out there, because I'm my own boss and I can choose to submit to gallery shows 1 year and I can choose to take a break the other year, and no one will come and say, hey, you need to do this, otherwise you won't grow.
While this podcast has never been about only artists who make work about the maternal, rather artists who are caregivers and mothers and are making work about all sorts of things, one thing we can't deny is that motherhood shapes us and inspires us so intensely that it is bound to find its way into our work. And some of us even make art specifically about this journey. The physical, emotional, spiritual labor of motherhood and domesticity are huge things in our lives. Let's hear how some artists, including Tracy Taylor from episode 5, Jill Levetsky in episode 31, Jessica Wall in episode 11, and Dana Oldfather in episode 67, tackle making work about these themes and creating their own place in history.
The whole process of pumping and then bottle feeding was so overwhelmingly time consuming that I just pretty much early on, I was like, I need to just make this into my art somehow, you know? It was sort of like all of this time is taking away time I would have in my studio. So I'm just going to boil it all, you know, together and make it into an art project.
The 100 days was really like, well, what else am I going to make work about except the thing I do all day, which is like nurse an infant? And that just made sense to me. So then it became like a daily log of like what that was about. But then I didn't expect too that like there was, I ended up using a lot of humor, because like that humor was not like part of my work at all before that. But then I started making images that were like, you know, mostly images like of me and her, but let's say the wackiness of like how my body is changing, saggy boobs, like the image of, you know, the mother and then holding an alligator biting the nipple was like this image of like, she bit my nipple today.
It was really my way of trying to contextualize my average everyday life and provide it some kind of meaning and substance. It basically by saying like, here's all this amazing work by all these amazing artists. And I can put this like spilled, you know, bowl of cereal on the floor in the context of them, because I need to like validate what I'm doing in some way. I have to convince myself or remind myself that the time away from my studio is meaningful.
It was so striking to me that people never talk about the hard stuff. You know, and maybe it's because they don't want to be a downer. They don't want to scare pregnant ladies. By the way, I'm that woman who scares pregnant ladies. But I get it. You know, like motherhood is beautiful, but I think that we're doing a disservice by not talking about the hard stuff. I mean, like, let's get real about it. I would have loved to have been warned a little bit. But anyway, it's allowed me to make some really interesting work and deal with problems. And it, as everybody else I'm sure knows, it makes you a better person. And so I'm thankful for it. But the challenge that I'm finding that I think is really interesting and fun is, can we make work that talks about the hard stuff but at the same time shows that we love our family, you know? I think it's possible, and I think that, you know, we're trying to do it.
A big thing I've heard and learned as I've listened to so many women is that artist mothers need more confidence, and we need to celebrate ourselves more. Here's some inspiration for this from Liesl Strauss in episode 42, Allison Remus in episode 28, Diana Gravina in episode 34, and Isadora Stowe in episode 72.
you have to check up and do the work and don't be shy and don't be scared of burning your bridges. I don't say go onto Instagram and publicize if somebody didn't pay you within a month, you know, but I do say stand up for yourself. And we remember, you don't just do it for yourself. You do it for all of us. Like, we all need to stand tall and say that we're worth money. Art, making art is a legitimate career, like being a lawyer. And we just need to put these boundaries down.
We've sort of been taught that if you are serious about being an artist, you have to either not have children or you need to not talk about it. And I don't like people telling me what to do. So I'm going to talk about it, and I'm also going to incorporate it into the work.
I was just expecting for the journey to be very negative, to be very static, to just be very ill almost, because that's what they tell you about pregnancy. And when instead I start feeling like a lioness, I started feeling absolutely driven and creative, and I had millions of ideas per second, then I was like, oh my God, what is this? It must be linked to what's happening into my body.
Supporting myself and being the person to support a child has been like a huge, huge responsibility. And then also being able to make my work and find time and be pulled in all these different directions and feeling like you're not 100%. And like, it feels like nobody gets 100% of me. And that has been the most excruciating part of being a single parent, I think. But it's also just taught me, like, you can literally do anything.
I opened this episode sharing quotes from mothers who found they needed space from their art practices while their kids were young. But so many of us simply can't set aside our desire to make art during that time. Some of us want to keep working. Truly, there's no right or wrong way to do this thing, but we sure can feel shame and guilt about any choice we make. Let's hear from some artists who kept the fire going while their kids were young, including Julianne Strom-Brill in episode 26, Maya Resnick in episode 73, and Susanna Bloom in episode 32.
I don't want to stop doing this portion of my business because it's so meaningful to me. And I want, you know, I want him to, as he gets older, to see that I'm still a working mom and I'm not always just going to, you know, I'm not going to give up something I'm passionate about because he refuses a bottle. He's going to take the bottle and I'm going to keep working.
I wish I could say that, oh, I've totally surrendered to putting my art on a back burner and just completely relishing and being a mom, but it would be a lie, you know? It wasn't until I had Mila that I realized that for me, making art is so much more than having a career. And I realized for me, it's my spiritual practice.
In some of these paintings I'm doing for this project, I'm thinking definitely in the Arizona paintings and the Mississippi paintings and probably more. There is this lumpy blue sack shape that is in the paintings that to me kind of represents like everything I am bringing with me when I go to these places. So like motherhood is in that sack, and like my whiteness and my queerness, my Pacific Northwesternness, like, is all in that sack. And so the sack is like a character in those paintings.
I love this reminder from one of my favorite episodes ever, my interview with Barbara Campbell Thomas and Helen O'Leary. I believe so much of my commitment to sharing your stories is because I think we all need models. We need to see people living a life that inspires us and allow ourselves to be inspired by their way of living and learn from them. Models and mentors are so important. That's why I care so much about visibility for this community. Listen to Barbara share more in this episode from 78.
I think that one of the reasons why I became a painter is because within that class, and very much through the way that Helen spoke about painting, I felt like I could do anything with this material, that it was limitless. And that was
you know, I don't know how old I was, 20 years old, perhaps. I mean, it was just this incredibly intoxicating feeling that I was at the beginning of this sort of endlessness. And I was just completely taken in. And I think the way, too, that Helen was able to really connect painting with one's life and with, I mean, there was always poetry and there were stories. And, you know, it wasn't just we're learning how to make a painting technically. It was like we were learning how to live our lives.
The biggest thread, the most profound part of all of us, is that we are full of contradictions. The artist mother identity is so complex and complicated. There is a push and a pull that continually happens. I think this is one of the most magical and mystical parts of this experience. It's so much all at once. And so many people in our community have described this so beautifully. Listen to Sarah Boitz-Yoder in episode 14, Lauren Frances Evans in episode 22, Sandeep Johal in episode 91, Lee Noel Wilson in episode 17, and Megan Craig in episode 18 share about this idea.
After I had my first child and then even the second one, having a child, it's like you're walking around in the world like this gigantic broken heart. You're just broken open. And it's for the good and for the bad because it's your child. And so all of these things that come at you in that time, the people that you meet, that you become friends with, things that you see, the things that you look at, like get tattooed onto your being because you're just this like raw emotional wreck kind of. But also so happy and loving and joyful. And I think it was a really key thing for me to see that those two things exist at the same time, all the time. Like darkness and light, love and terror, they're the opposite sides of the same card.
I feel like it's this push and pull or this like tug of war kind of thing that we're like longing to be one and like we want to be close to one another, but then it's also this simultaneously we're like longing to be our own individuals. And I feel like that's something I'm able to experience now as a mother in this really kind of embodied way.
Wow, I'm no one's wife right now. I'm no one's mom. I'm no one's friend. I'm no one's daughter. I'm no one's anything. It's just me in the studio alone, and I get to think, and I get to explore, and I get to experiment. And so, I think for me, like, timing is always everything, and I finally had the space to really, I had some distance, I guess. I had some distance from all of those really intense early feelings of motherhood so I could speak about it more objectively and more openly.
I think sometimes being an artist is a little too close to my identity, and I need to learn how to separate that, you know, like being an artist is not who I am. It's what I do. And it is how I see the world. Yes. And it is probably the closest thing to my identity beyond, you know, just being Lee. But I'm constantly, that's another thing that I'm constantly asking myself, like, am I handling this all in a healthy way, or is my identity getting wrapped up in this too much?
You know, I think one of the things that I struggled with for a while was the kind of sense that if I was in the painting world telling somebody that I was a philosophy professor, there was sort of the immediate reaction, well, if you were really serious about painting, you'd just be doing that. And then the same thing the other way. And it's exhausting to hold apart in your life. And I think over time, I feel myself more at home with just being complicated. And it's the way I think, this is the way I live. And it happens to come in these different material forms, and more unapologetic about it, which has been really freeing and great.
And finally, the last quote I want to share with you is one of my favorites from this first batch of 100 episodes. Some wise wisdom shared with me by Adrienne Brown David, an artist and friend living in Water Valley, Mississippi. This quote from episode 3, more than any other conversation over the past 2.5 years, has really been a touchstone for me, one to come back to over and over again when I'm stressed.
I tell my kids regularly that I wear lots of different hats, like I'm artist, wife, mother, driver, nurse, teacher, all of that. But I can only do maybe 2 of those things at 100% at any given time.
Friends, we wear so many hats. We do so many things. And it's impossible not to feel crazy and stressed when we are pulled in many directions at once. Adrienne's advice is so necessary. Compartmentalizing helps. Find containers for different areas of your life, set some boundaries, and move forward with lots of grace and patience. Block out time to be an artist, time to be a mom, time to be a wife, time to be a professor, whatever it is. Don't try to do too much at once. But most importantly, I want to leave you with the most profound thing I've realized over this journey. As much as we need to compartmentalize and focus on just a few things at a time, we also desperately need spaces where we can show up fully as ourselves, where the compartmentalizing and the containers can be shed, where the 10 arms we have keeping the 10 balls afloat can drop to our sides and we can be ourselves. Us. Where there is shared understanding and head nodding and back patting and tear wiping and embracing, finding places where people understand who you are and what you want to be in the world is essential to our health and well-being. And that is what this community offers to me and so many of us. This summer, I had the pleasure of spending 3 days with 5 other artist mothers who I have grown close to because of this community. Jody Hayes, Sarah Sidhoff, Barbara Campbell-Thomas, Karen Donna, and myself had traveled to Isadora Stowe's home in New Mexico for the weekend. One night, we were all laying on our backs looking up at the stunning desert sky, marveling at the stars. Our bellies were full of Thai takeout, and we had just finished swapping childbirth stories. I could hear each of their breathing and the weight of their bodies as Isadora's trampoline held us suspended in space. We each shared something we needed from the group. And when it got to Barbara's turn, she shared that she needed more of this, more time with people who see her fully, who recognize her dualities and contradictions. She needed friends in her life who created space for her to show up completely as herself. One day, swapping childbirth stories, one day viewing art together, or venting about jobs or car lines or expressing concern for aging parents. I know I say this a lot, but magic is really one of the only words that expresses this component of our community to me. It is magical to be seen and known by people who understand your complexity. Whether you are outgoing, introverted, a leader, a follower, living rurally, or surrounded by a great art scene, whatever your personality type, wherever you live, I've learned this from all of you. You need to be seen and known for your identity both as an artist and a mother. You need spaces to lean into that allow for your wholeness. You need people in your life who deeply get you. We need each other. And the truth is, we have each other. We have community here. And for that, I am so eternally grateful. I can't leave this huge milestone without sharing the biggest thank you ever to my partner, John Butine, who has faithfully edited and produced every single episode and has not charged me a single dime. Thank you, John, for believing in the work that I do as an artist and understanding that this podcast means so much to me and so many others. Thank you for the late nights you've spent on this project, for your patience when I get behind, and for your consistent excellence in making us sound so good. I love you and appreciate you more than you know. The Artist Mother podcast is curated and produced by Kaylin Butine. Music by Josh Middleton. Editing and mixing by John M. Butine. Please visit www.artistmotherpodcast.com for episode notes and to find out how you can further support this podcast.